say can be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for staying with us on this Tuesday. If time permitting, we'll get some of your texts in, 251-343-0106. Joining us now, we do it every week about this time, but it's my pleasure to introduce our next guest. Chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, John Wall, is with us. Chairman, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Well, you know, we talk every week. I mean, this is a real pivotal time, it seems like, in Alabama politics. A lot of announcements, a lot of dominoes falling. I guess first question would be, where are you? Have you any clarity in your for your political aspirations?
You know, great question. I'm still very much, you know, I have encouraged. It's a very humbling thing when you have people who are encouraging you to run for just about every office on the ballot, everything from state auditor to secretary of state, lieutenant governor, U.S. Senate. The only one no one encourages me to run for is governor against Tommy Tuberville, and I'm glad about that.
That would be an ill-advised effort. I don't think you need me telling you that.
You would find out who your real friends were. A real friend wouldn't encourage that one, would they?
No.
But no, I think for me, and I'm still prayerfully considering my options. I am very excited about the 2026 cycle, though. I have a heart for raising Alabama's profile, and I really want to see Alabama lead the entire nation when it comes to conservative policies that fight for people's rights and freedoms, that put people first again, put Alabama first again, and really return the focus of government, not to controlling people and telling them how to live their lives, but getting out of the way, letting the free market work, championing the Constitution and the vision of our founding fathers, and returning to that, to the principles that made America great. And so I really hope that the 2026 cycle, we have those candidates, we have those opportunities to kind of following the lead of you know, some of the things we've seen nationally with Donald Trump's win, and really bring home Alabama first policy and putting people first against state government.
Well, and big picture, I mean, does it seem like we're turning a corner here, or potentially turning a corner that you know, you have these sort of, they're flare-ups. I wouldn't say big wave seismic changes in Alabama politics, but from time to time, you do have shifts, let's say, and the populist ideas and message kind of pierces through what is has been the norm in Alabama politics, cycle after cycle after cycle. Do you feel like that's even in the realm of possibilities this cycle?
You know, I really hope it is. And I'll say, look, politics is like a giant ship, and it's very hard to turn it quickly. There's so many moving parts. You have the financial component, the special interest component, you know, all these different things. And so it's very hard to change government quickly. And in some ways, that's a good thing. In others, it's a very frustrating thing, especially coming from, a small government, a free market guy like myself, because you want to see these changes. You see how they impact people's lives, lower taxes, getting government out of the way with cutting regulations. And how that can instantly improve people's, economic position. But I think the American people have really woken up, and the people of Alabama have woken up over the last few years, whether that was through the COVID pandemic or seeing the unfairness of the mainstream media. I think we're at a point in our country right now where people understand just the depth of the deep state and the swampiness of not just politics, but also of the political establishment, the mainstream media, to the point where they're looking for true grassroots leaders, people who put who are sincere and put principle above politics, who are willing to take a bullet to do the right thing. And if that's who the candidates, the people are going to reward, then I think we have a very real chance of making significant improvement and really changing politics here in the state of Alabama.
Well, when you talk about that, though, I mean, to me, you look at the turnout and who shows up for these primary elections. And I mean, I grew up in a house in Alabama, and this was small potatoes. This was, you know, like, can you ever change that mentality where it's not just, you know, everyone's inundated with what they watch on Fox News or hear, you know, on talk radio shows, present company excluded here, but you know, like
we like some talk radio shows. You know, they're not all great, but some of them are right.
but you know, the idea is like what we focus on, and sometimes the Alabama angle doesn't get the attention like the other levels of politics.
No, and I think you've hit the nail on the head for a lot of the problems we have with the political system in our entire country, and that's apathy, you know, voter apathy. So many people are not engaged in the political process, even if they're not, you know, actively involved with their time. Being an educated voter, understanding the issues, understanding why the press, you know, is saying this or saying that, or what that local candidate thinks, and maybe even lower than state level, you know, down to the county level or your city level, understanding which candidates are really fighting for the values you care about. Because so much of the time, he who has the most money gets his message out, and everyone says nice things about themselves in their ads. But the real question is, who's gone to the mat? Who's, you know, where has the rubber met the road? And who's really put the time in and fought for the values that the people care about? And I think that's what we need more than anything else. Is an engaged electorate who looks past the political ads and the press stories to who's actually fighting for our values.
Yeah, and understanding why it's relevant at this level of government. And the problem, Chairman, just big picture-wise, is Alabama politics and even some county municipal politics, it's just hard to understand. I mean, you don't have the... You don't necessarily have the coverage. You don't have the media coverage, but it's hard to understand. And I mean, I'll say this: I think the state's underserved in that capacity, right and left. But you know, that's what makes it difficult. Is, you know, such even for a candidate seeking office to understand is like, how does this really work? It's a very complicated system. It takes some time. It took me 20 years to figure it out, and I do this for a living. I think that does a lot of harm.
Well, and I think you hit the nail on the head there. You know, a lot of this comes down to if you don't interact with the government on the local level on a day-to-day basis, you don't even know what they're doing. It's not until you have a problem come up that you realize what values these candidates or elected officials may have. I mean, a good example of this is the fight we're in with the library right now. You see what the leadership on a local level, the difference they can make, whether you have local leadership that backs this woke transgender socialist ideology coming down from the federal level, or whether you have local officials who are like, no, that's not our values, that's not our community's values, and we're not going to put up with it. And I think that's just, you know, that's just one thing you can kind of point to. But that matters, because if people with that worldview, that's going to translate not just in that area, that's going to translate into fiscal conservatism. It's going to translate into taxes, you know, all right, these other things that affect our lives.
Well, that was my next question was going to be about that. Like, look, a lot of people listening to this program, we talk about the library so much. Like, I don't use the library. I haven't used the library since I was a kid. It doesn't really matter in my life. And so, like, my ambition was like, well, it matters though, because this is what your government resources and agenda, it's being used to promote an agenda that is not compatible to most people. But most people don't think it's, you know, relevant. And I think that's the message though. Well, you see the library, here's what's coming next.
No, look, that's absolutely right. And you brought up the most important, one of the most important things to do with the library. You know, you said you've not been in a library since you were a kid. Well, that's most of the people who use libraries across the state are children, or families. And I think that's why this has become such a hot button issue, because libraries are not a culture war issue unless the side starts putting things in there that are so offensive that parents start complaining. And this is the start of this. I get so frustrated with these far leftist groups who are like, oh, there's an attack on libraries. No, the attack is not on libraries. The attack is on the intentional sexualization of our children. And that should be attacked. That's good that that's being attacked. And whether it's from conservative groups, whether it's from disconnected, you know, just parents who find this stuff, wherever it comes from, we should be watching our government institutions, where our tax dollars are being spent. And shocker, and this is something I believe strongly in, the taxpayer, the parents, they should have the final say, not unelected bureaucrats that are paid by these same taxpayers. When did we get to the point where unelected bureaucrats have more rights than the people who pay their salaries? And it's just, it's such an easy one. It's time to return power to the people and put parents back in control of what their children have access to.
Yeah. But it's back to that point though. It's well, you know, first and foremost, it's up to the parent, and this wouldn't have been a problem, you know, 20, 30 years ago. Now,
even 10 years ago,
yeah.
Most of these books we're talking about are new. This is a new agenda. It's not something that traditionally has been there, and that's why it's an issue. Not because the parents are complaining now. It's because something has changed within our libraries where they're feeling the need to put these transgender books, these sexually explicit books, in front of innocent children.
Yeah, like I said, though, there's also like a cultural aspect to it. And so... You know, the culture, and for better or for worse, probably for worse, I would say, cedes a lot of their parenting to the state. Cedes a lot, when I say state, like, you know, the state, not the state of Alabama, but the government. And,
yeah.
They teach sex ed and, you know, all these, like, things that were, like, hot buttons 20, 30 years ago now are just kind of accepted norms, but... You don't just stop there. The intrusion continues and continues and continues. And that's sort of like, you know, I guess people who grew up in a different generation don't really remember those fights.
No, it's a continuing slippery slope, right? This goes back to, and I have gotten hit by this from multiple media sources because they want to say it's a conspiracy theory or whatever. But I think it's very clear. If you read some of the writings from socialists throughout history, they understand this concept. He who controls the minds of children today will control the country tomorrow and all of society tomorrow. And that's why you see this such a concentrated effort aimed at the minds of our children, whether it's through our curriculum, our education system, the libraries, wherever it is, entertainment, wherever it is. This is where the socialists are striving to get control. So they change our model from being this freedom loving republic into a socialist democracy. And I think it's really a hidden agenda and a battle behind the scenes. And they know that if they can get this stuff, if they can destroy, conservatism and American values within our youth, then they won't have it once they're adults and they can start voting and controlling the country.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's maybe we didn't necessarily agree to a lot of what's going on here, but you know, you keep taking it, you keep giving an inch, and the end results, they take a mile. But is there necessarily a government solution, a government policy that's going to fix all these new cultural norms? Because, you know, like I said, there used to be an element of shame of taking assistance from the government. Now it's like a matter of pride. Like, you know, you guys talk about how they can game the system, and there's a financial incentive to do so. It's a rational human behavior to do things the way things are done. And it just seems like that's the problem. Like, conservatives are kind of hanging out, looking around like, well, why doesn't the government do something here? But I don't think that there's just a government fix all.
No, and there shouldn't be. Like, we believe in the people. You know, it's we the people, not we the government. And that being said, government has grown so large and has grown into so many areas of our life where it was never originally intended to be. That it makes it really hard because it takes a library fight. Well, these are taxpayer funds. And so I believe government absolutely has not just a right, but a duty to make sure that this material is not in front of our children. And it's why we've taken, you know, taken the stand we've taken at the APLS board, the Alabama Public Library Service Board. And, you know, my work there as chairman, I believe it is the duty of that organization to make sure that we protect the investment of the taxpayer when it comes to what we, what libraries in Alabama are doing. And I think so in that regard, if there are people who are using taxpayer money, our money, we the people's money, to engage in activities that is anti-American or against the values of the people of that community or our state, I think it's absolutely the role of government to either defund it or to make sure the funds are used in accordance with what the desires of the governed want.
Chairman, we're about out of time here. I guess last question, now that the election cycle is kind of kicking into gear and folks are, you know, maybe not quite quite there with the 2026 election, which is more than a year away, but they want to be involved in the Republican Party. They want to know more about it. How can they do so?
Well, we always like to stay connected with folks. We're on all social media platforms, at Alabama Republican Party. And then, of course, we've got a website where people can sign up for newsletters or updates. That's algop.org.
Chairman, we appreciate your time. We'll do it again next week.
Hey, always good to be on the show.
That's John Wall, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back to wrap it up. This is FM Talk 106.5. I ain't got a dime, but what I got is mine.